Really going to be a springboard text to get into 1 Thessalonians, but it's going to be 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. And I just want to read real quickly just a few verses there, and then we're going to be over in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. I've entitled this message this morning, Gone in a Blink. Gone in a Blink. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 will be our text that we're going to preach out of today, but I want us to look in 2 Peter chapter 3, and let's take a look at what the Bible shows us here as we think about the rapture of the church being gone in a blink and some things that that we need to prepare ourselves for. In 2 Peter chapter 3, and we'll begin there in verse 1, and I've heard some people say, well, you know, I've read through the Bible and I don't see the word rapture in the Bible, and technically you don't see the English word rapture in the Bible, but the term for snatching away or catching away, the Greek word for that is raptizo, which is where we get the word rapture from, and that's what we call it. So in that sense, it is. The idea is there, but I'm not going to argue about it. But 2 Peter chapter 3, and as we begin there in verse 1, and we talk about the rapture. Now, I don't know about you, but when I think about going home and I think about a homecoming, I look forward to the day whenever the Lord Jesus calls us home. Amen. Now, I'm not trying to hurry myself up by no means. You know, God's got a plan. I get it. But you know what? I'd a whole lot rather go by rapture than by death. But either way, I'm going home. Amen. And I'm looking forward to it. And I think it's going to be a wonderful time. It's going to be a beautiful day whenever I see the Lord Jesus face to face and all the other saints of God in heaven. And I'm looking forward to that. And if you're saved here today, then that's something that you're going to be able to experience and something you have to look forward to. And so I encourage you this morning to get saved. And don't wait another moment. Don't wait another second. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Listen, we don't know when the Lord Jesus is coming back, and that is an imminent thing, which means that it can happen at any moment. There's nothing on the prophetic time clock that says this must happen and this must happen and this must happen before the Lord Jesus comes. No, the Lord Jesus can come at any time. At any moment, and it could be before the service is over today. Man, it might be before we eat all that glorious chicken back there in the back. It could happen before that, but I don't know. But I just want to tell you this. We need to make sure that we are prepared for this event to take place. So when I think about homecoming, I think about going home, I can't help but to think about heaven. I can't help to think about all the wonderful things in heaven and the streets of gold and the fact that there's no more sickness and no more death and no more separation, and we won't see any hospitals and we won't see any cemeteries and we won't see any of those things up there in heaven. We won't see people not being able to get around. Listen, we're all going to be in good health and we won't have to worry about be no more sorrow and no more crying and no more pain and all that good stuff. I don't know about you, but are you excited about going already? Now, I tell you what, it's going to be a glorious time and I'm looking forward to that. But you know what? If the Lord Jesus comes back in the rapture, that is something that you need to make sure that you're prepared for. And because it can happen any moment, that means that you need to know without a shadow of a doubt that you're saved and on your way to heaven. Now, and so before we get into 1 Thessalonians, I want us to take a look just real quickly at what 2 Peter chapter 3 says about this. And before we get into our text, notice the Bible says, the second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, there in 2 Peter chapter 3, and there in verse 1, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Knowing this first, there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lust, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, in other words, since they died, they're not talking about a soul sleep there, and for since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and that the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that was then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto the fire against the day of judgment and the perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is a day. And the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And we think about today when people will say, well, you know, preachers have been preaching about the rapture for a long time. We've been talking about the Lord Jesus coming back for a couple of thousand years, if that's the way you want to look at it. I mean, it has been preached that one day the Lord Jesus is coming back. And one of the things I find interesting, of course, the reason why I want us to go to 2 Peter is because when we look at this, I think we can see the same thing that even in the people in that day, when the book of 2 Peter was being written, as it was being spoke of, that one day the Lord Jesus is going to come back. Because in the book of Acts, we see that it was a promise. Of course, that'll be your first truth we're going to get at this morning. That we see a promise that there in the book of Acts in chapter 1, verse 11, when the Lord Jesus ascended up into the heavens in a cloud, and the angels stood there and they said, looking at the disciples, and they said, why stand you here gazing up into the clouds? This same Jesus will come again in like manner. And so that was a promise right there. Also, John chapter 14, the Bible tells us that the Lord Jesus said, I will come again. I will come again and I'll receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And so we understand this morning that it is a promise that the Lord Jesus is coming back. It's not, we don't know the hour and we don't know the day. Of course we do not. But I can tell you this, it is a promise that the Lord Jesus is coming back. And he's going to come back at the rapture. And one of these days, I tell you what, if you're not prepared and you're not ready, you're going to get yourself caught off guard. And this whole world's going to be looking around trying to figure out what happened. But all God's people are going to be gone. And I'm not listening. When God takes me on up out of here, I'm not I'm gonna kiss this place goodbye. When I get to heaven, listen, I'm not gonna wish I was back down here. I'm not planning on coming back until I ride with the Lord Jesus on my white horse. Amen. And when the Lord Jesus comes back at the Battle of Armageddon and he comes out riding out amongst all his people and God's people, we come riding down out of heaven with all the angels and the angelic host. I'm looking forward to getting on my horse one of these days and I'm gonna ride out of heaven with the Lord. But listen, that's the only other time I'm planning on coming back here, when the Lord Jesus calls me home. Boy, I'm ready. I am ready to go. The Bible shows us right here in our text that in the last days that there'll be people that'll say, there in verse 3 of 2 Peter chapter 3, that the Bible says that there will be people in the last days, and there'll be scoffers, and they'll be walking according to their own lust, incontinent people. They'll be walking according to their own desires, according to their own lust, living how they want to live and doing what they want to do, willfully ignorant. They don't want to hear about what the Bible says. They don't want to hear about what the preachers are saying. They don't want to hear whenever you come to them and tell them, they better get themselves ready and they better get their hearts right and they better ask the Lord Jesus to forgive them. The Bible says that they are willfully ignorant of this very thing. They don't want to hear it. They don't want to listen to it. And the Bible says there in verse 4 that they're going to say, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers failed from all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. Listen, there's a lot of people out there today. They mock the idea that Christians think that one day the Lord Jesus is going to come back and take us all up. They make fun of that. And they mock that. And they think that we're crazy this morning for thinking such a thing. But I can tell you this, when the Lord Jesus comes back and the last trump sounds and the Lord Jesus comes back, they'll be going to be looking around and there'll be some people, they might sit there and think maybe them Christians weren't as crazy as we thought they were. I mean, what in the world happened? But I can tell you what, when that day happens, this world is going to plunge into a time of chaos like we ain't never seen. We think things have been crazy since 2020. Ain't nobody seen anything yet. We think things have been crazy over any course of history, not just since 2020. But you will go on back into history in the days before that, and the days before that, and the days before that, when all those people back then thought, man, the Lord Jesus could come back at any moment. I mean, back then they thought things were so bad the Lord Jesus could come back. I mean, I tell you what, if it was me, when I got saved and called to preach and into the ministry, and even then I was looking around thinking, man, I don't know, the Lord Jesus, if he came back today, I wouldn't be surprised considering how things are. And I think, man, how much things have changed in the last just 20 years. And I'm thinking to myself, wow, I can't believe he hadn't come back already. I thought the Lord Jesus would have already come back. But listen, you say, and these people here, the Bible even says that in the last days that people are going to be scoffing, they're going to be making fun of God's people for preaching on the rapture and thinking about the rapture and continually every day looking for the Lord Jesus to come back, continually every day waking up and opening our ears and make sure to listen for the trumpet. The world thinks that we're crazy, but listen, it's not crazy. You say, well, what is it? It's grace. It's grace. And you say, why is it grace? Why is it grace that the Lord Jesus hasn't come back yet? The Bible tells us there in verse 9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promises, some men count slackness, but is long suffering towards usward. He's long suffering towards usward. Listen, the Bible says there in the latter part of that text, he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And so the Lord Jesus is continuing his long suffering. He is continuing his mercy and continuing his grace. While some people would look at that and the world would look at that and think that we're crazy for continuing to believe in such a thing, as God's people, we can look at this and we can say, you know what, I'm ready for the Lord Jesus to come back. But the reason why I think the Lord Jesus hasn't come back, of course, one thing, of course, is his mercy and grace. The Bible shows us there in verse 4 of that text that people will say, where is the promise of his coming? And that's the very first truth that I opened up with. The people will say, where is the promise of his coming? And the very first truth this morning is that the Lord Jesus is coming back and that it's a promise. And in John chapter 14, he says, I will come again. That was a promise. He didn't say I might. He didn't say it may be something that might, this may happen. This was a guaranteed thing. Listen, if the Lord Jesus says he's going to do something, you can take that to the bank that that's what he's going to do. And one of these days, the Lord Jesus is coming back. And he is going to take us all home. And it could be this very day. It could be before this service is over. Before the next sentence is even uttered out of my mouth. And God's people, man, we need to make sure that we are listening. And we are prepared and ready. Listen, if you're lost here today and you don't know Christ as your Savior, you better make sure that you're prepared. You better make sure that you get your heart ready. You better call on the Lord Jesus to get saved. Ask him to forgive you of all your sins. And you need to get yourself right with God today. And the Bible tells us that people will say, where is the promise of his coming? But the Lord Jesus is coming. It is a promised thing. He says, I will come again. As we look in our text, and let's flip over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And as we flip over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, we also understand that the rapture is a guarantee because of what these verses say. Begin there in verse 13. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, the Bible says, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, speaking of those that are dead, that you sorrow not even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them which also sleep in Jesus will God bring with them. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up, raptured, raptizo, snatched away together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. And notice what he says in verse 18. He says, wherefore, because of this, in other words, because of what I just said, wherefore. Anytime as they say, you see a wherefore, see what it's there for. And wherefore is there because, he says, comfort one another with these words. Because these Thessalonians and were even then, and those people back then, the Christian people, they were living during some paganistic troublesome times. I mean, they was living in a society that could care less about God. There was paganism on all the streets, paganism in every corner, people worshiping all different kinds of things, and God's people were suffering persecution on many different levels and many different ways and aspects. And so the Apostle Paul was telling these folks, he says, listen, let me tell you something. He says, I know things is hard, and I know when you look around, you begin to think yourself, what in the world is going on around here? And all you see is just paganism, and all you see is just godlessness and evilness and wickedness, and that's all we see. He said, but let me tell you something. There's something I don't want you to be ignorant of. Something I want you to make sure that you know without a shadow of a doubt. Something that you need to make sure that you have ingrained into the heart of you, in your mind and in your heart, that you know, for one, that you're saved, because if you're saved, you've got something to look forward to. And what you got to look forward to is, yes, to go to heaven, but also understand that if the rapture takes place and the Lord Jesus comes back, that you can guarantee yourself that you are, if you're saved, that you're going to be caught up with the Lord, and the Lord's going to descend himself, and he's going to come into the clouds. No, we're not talking about the revelation of the Lord Jesus. Now that takes place when his foot sets down to the ground at the battle of Armageddon. We're talking about the rapture of Christ when he comes in the clouds and all God's people go up to meet him in the air. And there's a difference between the two. We can see here that it's promised. It's a promise thing. The rapture is something that is a promise, and it'll happen in the blink of an eye. Not only is it something that is promised, but of course we can definitely see that it's personal because the Lord Jesus is going to come back himself. The bride's going to come and receive his bridegroom. Listen, whenever I got married, I didn't tell somebody else to go get my wife and bring her. Does that make sense? I didn't tell somebody else just to go get her. No, listen, I wanted to be there when she came to me, right? I wanted to be there. I wasn't going to go somewhere else and just wait on her to get there. No, I wanted her to be with me. It was a personal thing. I didn't have somebody else stand in my place to receive my wife. Does that make sense? I stood there ready to receive her. And the Bible shows us here that it is something that is personal, as I said. Acts chapter 1, verse 11. Acts chapter 1, verse 11. The Bible says, this same Jesus, not some other Jesus, not some Jesus that the world tries to make up, not some Jesus that National Geographic tries to come up with, not some Jesus that the History Channel tries to come up with, but the very same Jesus that died on that old rugged cross and forgave us and saved us of our sin, the one that ascended up into the heavens and is right now seated on the right hand of God, that very same Jesus who rose again on the third day and gave us life and forgave us of all of our sins and wrote our names down in the Lamb's book. That very same Jesus is coming for you and for me. And the very same one. The very same one. It's going to be personal. The Lord Jesus is going to come himself. And he tells them there in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 13, he says, I don't want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not as others which have no hope. You know, the Bible tells us right there, even the Apostle Paul, he says, I want you to understand, I don't want you to be ignorant of it. I want you to know without a shadow of a doubt that you got something to look forward to, that the Lord Jesus is coming back. But he says, I don't want you to sorrow as others which have no hope. The Apostle Paul said that because of what we read of what we just read in Peter, that there are others that are mocking his coming, that there are others that don't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. They don't believe that he's coming back. They're not willing to give themselves over to the Lord. They don't see that they're sinners. And so because of that, because they are bought into the ideology of this world and the philosophy of this world, and because the devil has blinded the hearts and their minds and has deceived them, these folks, if they don't accept Jesus, they're going to die and go to hell. And listen, I know that's not some popular preaching today, but I'm just telling you, I'm going to preach it without apology, that that's what the Bible says. If you die without Jesus, you die lost. And if you die lost, you go to a devil's hell. And the Bible tells us here, he says, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not as others which have no hope. What's also interesting too is that when we think about the things that's happened in the past, and whenever we was in Peter, the Bible, Peter, he was talking to the people, and he says, you know what? He says, everybody says they're scoffing at the rapture of the church. They're making fun of the idea that the Lord Jesus is going to come back, and that's what we believe. He says, but you know what? He says, they missed the whole idea. For whatever reason, they have missed the fact that, you know what? There was a day when there was some other people back in the past, back in Noah's day, that made fun of Noah when Noah was preaching the word of God and telling those people they needed to get their heart and their life right, because God was going to bring a flood upon this earth, and if they didn't get themselves right, they was going to die and they was going to perish. And there was the people back then that didn't believe neither. And you know what happened? Only 8 people were saved. Only 8 people got on that ship. And even though he preached and he preached and he preached and he preached in the midst of all that evilness, in the midst of all that wickedness, the Bible tells us that in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. And the Bible says in the book of Genesis, the hearts and minds of people was only evil continually. The hearts and minds, the imaginations of the people, they were evil continually. And there Noah, he stood there in his family, and they preached and they preached and they tried to live a godly life in the midst of all of that sinfulness and wickedness, and they didn't believe until the first raindrop fell. Well, it was awful funny until they saw rain for the first time. It was awful funny until the fountains of the great deep began to break up and the earthquake spread across the whole earth. And as all these cracks began to form in the earth and all this water began to gush up from the earth and began to flood the earth, and the rain began to descend down upon from the heavens. Didn't seem like it was all real until those things began to happen. But when that door shut on Noah's ark, and the raindrop began to fall, the clouds was thickening, and the earthquakes began to happen, and the fountain of the great deep began to break up, and the water began to gush up out of the earth and to flood itself. Then they saw that it was really serious. But after the door was shut, it was too late. And what you don't want to do is find yourself on the other side of that door. You don't want to find yourself on the other side of that door. The Bible shows us right here. He says, I don't want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who are asleep. Those that have passed on in the Lord Jesus, we think about friends and family members today. And those that have passed on, those that have been saved and passed on. And he says, I just want you to understand that we don't need to sorrow as others which have no hope. Because those whom we love and friends and family members that we love and care about and they're saved and they're in heaven today, he says, I want you to understand something. You're going to see them again one day. You're going to see them again one day. We don't sorrow as others which have no hope. Others that have no hope of seeing Christ, no hope of seeing heaven, no hope of seeing maybe perhaps those that they love that said they got saved, whether they were family or friends. He says, you don't sorrow as others which have no hope. He says, so I want you to understand something. And you get in verse 14, he says, if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, you see that faith? You put your faith in Christ. He says, if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. So he's talking about those who have already been saved. He said, when the rapture happens, When the rapture gets ready to take place, what's going to happen is the Lord Jesus, man, he's going to come in the clouds. The Bible tells us he's going to come in the clouds. This same Jesus is going to come in like manner. He's going to come in the clouds, and whenever he comes, he's going to bring those that have died in Christ. He's going to bring those people with him. Man, what a sight that's going to be for them. Can you imagine what it's going to be like for all those folks in heaven when the Lord Jesus looks at all our friends and family members and they're up in heaven and all the other hosts of people that are there, and he looks at them and he says, the bride's going to go get his groom, and he looks at them and says, let's go bring my children home, and he looks at them and he says, let's go get them, and they all get up from where they are, wherever they're at, and they come with the Lord Jesus in the clouds. Man, what a moment that's going to be for them. How exciting that's going to be for them. And the Bible tells us here in the text that whenever this happens, whenever they come, God, the Bible says that God will bring them with him. Man, how terrible that is for those that believe that when you die, your soul just sleeps in the ground. Because listen, whenever you die, your soul don't just sleep in the ground. Listen, it'll be absent for the bodies to be present with the Lord. And your body will go in that ground, but your spirit, if you are saved, will ascend into the heavens, and you'll be with Christ. And you'll come back one day whenever the rapture takes place to receive something that God is so willingly ready to give you on that day. And that will be your glorified body. Man, praise the Lord for that. There's a glorified body that's coming for all of us one of these days. One of those bodies that, we don't have to worry about it getting hurt anymore. We don't have to worry about it aching and feeling pain. And we don't have to worry about it dying. And man, we don't have to worry about none of those things. But a glorified body just as he is. The Bible says that he's going to bring those people with him when the rapture takes place. But understand this. When the Lord Jesus descends down from heaven and he comes into the clouds and the trumpet sounds and all of God's people ascend up into heaven, whenever that happens, you just imagine the chaos that's going to be taking place down here. The mass chaos that's going to be going on as people, millions, perhaps billions, who knows how many people that are really saved, and they ascend up into the heaven from wherever they are at that moment, whether they're driving down the road or whether they're sitting in a schoolhouse somewhere or whether they're sitting in college somewhere or they're sitting at the house or wherever it is that they could be, vacationing with family members or sitting in a restaurant or whatever it could be. And then all of a sudden the trumpet sounds and the Lord Jesus comes back for his people and he calls his people home. moment, just like that, in the blink of an eye, you're gone. And those that are not saved, they're going to be sitting there, standing there, driving there, eating there, flying there, wondering what happened to this person that was right here beside of me. Where did they just go? What happened to them? There's going to be all kinds of stories and all kinds of ideas and all kinds of different things. I think that's why the devil keeps the aliens alive today. Try to offer some sort of excuse or some sort of something. I've never heard so much about UFOs in all my life than I have now. And we are living in such a world today that they are plenty gullible enough to fall for something like that. And the Bible says and shows us that we don't sorrow as others which have no hope. Because if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. So those that have already died in Christ and went on up into heaven, when the Lord Jesus comes back in the rapture, he'll bring those people with him. In verse 15, so we see that it is a promise. The rapture is something that is promised. We see that it is something that is personal. The Lord himself will come. Verse 16, the Bible says, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And so we can see that it is personal. You know that every time you read, every time you look in the scriptures, every time the Lord Jesus shouted, somebody came back to life. Every time Jesus shouted, there was a resurrection. When the Lord Jesus stood there in front of Lazarus' grave, the Bible says he shouted and he came forth. You read in the Bible, every time the Lord Jesus shouted, there was a resurrection. So we see that it's personal. The Bible says the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. He's coming. He says, I will come again and receive them unto myself. And for the Lord shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. I've got a shofar in my office. I can't play the thing for nothing. But I just like blowing on it every once in a while. Because it just kind of reminds me. It ain't going to sound like that. It'll sound a whole lot more better than what I'm doing back there. But sometimes when people are just out here doing stuff, I'll just blow it just to make people turn around. And I sit in my office. I'll blow it and I'll sit in my office and I'll just imagine people standing in here thinking, what was that? Where'd that come from? And I'll just grin. It's just me. But the Lord Jesus is coming. He is coming. And it's going to be something that's personal. It's going to be something that's real. And it's going to be something that's going to happen in front of this whole world. And this whole world is going to look at it, and this whole world is going to behold it, and they're going to be thinking to themselves, where did all these people go? Now, they may be excited that we're gone. They may be happy about that, but I can guarantee you this. They may be happy about it for the moment, but whenever the Antichrist steps up his kingdom, and the Bible tells us after that seven-year peace treaty with Israel, listen, in the midst of all the chaos, somebody is going to have to come up and rise up and say, I'll take care of all of this. I'll take care of all this. And the Antichrist is going to rise up and he's going to come on the scene. And next thing you know, there'll be a seven-year peace treaty that's written, that is made with Israel. The 7 years of tribulation will start. And when that 7 years of tribulation starts, this world will undergo seasons such as it has never seen before since the earth has begun. And this world will see a pain and a sorrow, and this world will see a trial and a tribulation as it has never seen. And there will be people that are living on this earth, and there will be people that will be going through the horrors and the terrors of all the things that's coming to pass. And the last thing you want to do is find yourself on the other side of that door that's been shut. And the Bible tells us here today, the Bible says, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. It's a promise. It is something that is a promise. It is something that is personal. It is something that is planned, the Bible says, no man knows the day. And so it is something that is imminent. I believe the Lord Jesus is looking back. He is looking forward to coming back for his bride. He's looking forward to coming to receive his bride unto himself. He's looking forward to that day. And we say, why in the world hasn't the Lord Jesus come back? And I tell you why, as I've said already, it is because of his grace and his mercy and his long suffering as the reason why he hasn't yet. And we begin to think to ourselves, how much worse does it have to get? What else has to happen? What other things have to take place before the Lord Jesus comes? How bad does it have to be? Listen, I don't know, but I know this. I know this much. I know that I'm saved and I'm on my way to heaven. And regardless of how bad it gets, I know that I can trust in him. I know that I can follow him. And no matter how much despair and discouragement that this world brings, I know that I'm saved. I know I can trust in God. I know he has my best interest at heart, and whatever it is that God sees fit to do, that's what desire that I want. Listen, I'm not gonna get all worked up, and I'm not gonna get discouraged when I look at the news. Listen, it's easy to do it. You look, man, and you see these people are doing this and those people are doing that, and what in the world? How could this guy do such an evil, wicked thing? Because this is a sin-filled, sin-cursed, evil, wicked world. And the Bible says, just as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. And every time we look around, whether it's the news or the internet, we look on Facebook or whatever other social media that you got, and we look at all these things and all these things that are happening, it can be discouraging. But you know what it also points to? It points to the fact that the Bible is right. It points to the fact that Jesus is coming. It points to the fact that what the Lord Jesus said in his word, that you can depend on it and that you can trust in it and that you can stand on it. And even though we got all kinds of stuff out here in the world that we can't believe, we hear all, man, people hear all kinds of stuff and like, I don't know what to believe anymore. You ever heard somebody say that? Man, I've seen so much junk, I don't even know what to believe anymore. That's part of where the devil wants you to be at. Because when the truth comes out, he wants you to be so ignorant of it. He wants you to say, well, that's just something else. Now listen, I'm telling you, it's a promised thing. Lord Jesus is coming. It's personal. He's coming back himself. It's a planned event. We don't know when it's going to happen, but it's going to happen. And you better make sure you're prepared, and you better make sure you're ready. And it's also something that is going to be purposeful. There is a purpose and a reason why. And the Bible says, but the Bible tells us in the book of John, he says, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Listen, God wants you to bring you home to him. It is his desire. That's why the Bible says it is precious in the sight of the Lord of the death of his saints. It doesn't mean that God's happy, that God just is rejoicing that when people that we love die. That's not the idea. The idea is this, is that when that child of God is saved and they're on their way to heaven, when our people that we love, when they die, it hurts us, yes. But you know what? That child of God is ascending up into the heavens to see the Lord Jesus. And God desires to spend time with his people. God desires to have that relationship with his people. And that's why he says in his word, come now and let us reason together, thus saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they should be white as wool. And the Bible tells us here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 17, he says, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. So when the rapture takes place, it's going to be chaotic. It's going to be crazy. I mean, there's going to be all kinds of things that's taking place down here on this earth. Everybody's going to be trying to figure out what's going on. Everybody's going to try to figure out what's happening. I mean, this world is going to be in a state of chaos such as it's never seen. And when that happens, that Antichrist is going to step on the scene. He's going to make himself known. And we have no idea. He could be on the scene already. And we just don't know who he is. And we have no idea. It may be someone that's already in maybe a political place. It could be someone who nobody has even thought about or even imagined about. But in the midst of all the chaos, they step onto the scene. We have no idea. But it's a guaranteed thing that Jesus is coming back and the church is going to leave on up out of here. And it's also a guaranteed thing that when this church is gone, that the Holy Spirit of God will release his hand up off this earth, and the prince of this world, the god of this age, the little g, the prince of this world, the devil himself, he will have reign on this world. And he will do everything he can to bring as much misery and destruction and pain and death as he possibly can. The last thing you want to do is be on the other side of that door. The Bible tells us here, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them. And so as those that are in heaven come back and receive their glorified bodies, hold your place right here. Let's go. I think you enjoy this. Go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and just hold your place where you are, and we'll go over to verse 51. 1 Corinthians 15, and let's go over to verse 51, and notice what the Bible says. The Bible says, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed." We're not talking about the nursery back there. "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed." And the Apostle Paul was looking forward to the day when they would receive their glorified bodies. And it was going to happen in a moment, the Bible says, in the twinkling of an eye. And that's pretty fast. It'll happen just like that. I mean, it'll come so fast, you can't even imagine how fast it's going to happen. The Lord Jesus is going to descend from heaven, and he's going to shout with the voice of the archangel. The last trump is going to sound, and boom, just like that, the rapture is going to take place. And the Bible shows us and tells us that when that happens, that those that Christ brings with him, they're in the clouds. Those saints that have already passed away and are in heaven, he brings them with him in the clouds, and they receive their glorified bodies first. And you think about all the graves and the cemeteries and all the places where the bodies lay at today, whether they be out in the rivers and the seas and the creek beds, or out under battlefields, wherever they are, or whether they're in cemeteries now, wherever they could be. All those that have died in Christ, all those that are saved, when the Lord Jesus comes back, they're going to come back with him, and just like that, they're going to receive their glorified bodies. And then the Bible teaches that after they have received their glorified bodies, in verse 17, then we which are alive and remain, those the rest of us that are here, those of us that are awake and living when this happens, he says, we shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. So if there was a time and a moment in your life where you wasn't sure if you were saved, there's no greater time to make sure that you know that you're saved than today. You know, in the Old Testament, there was a picture of a rapture, a picture of the rapture of the church, really, Old Testament picture, in the book of Genesis. And the Bible says that Enoch walked with God, and then, boom, he was gone. He walked with God, and then he was no more. God took him. You can also read about it in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. And the Bible says when God took Enoch, the Bible shows us that he was not found. But you know what that means? That means they went out looking for him, and they couldn't find him. And God translated him up into heaven. And when that took place, everybody went out on a search looking for him. Just like no different than what me or you would do in our life. It's those that we love that are missing, and they're not there anymore. We would do everything we could. We'd turn over every rock to find those that we love. We would do everything we could. We would turn over every lock. We would go to every place possible to find those that we love. And that's what they did with Enoch. And you know what? He wasn't there. Also, we think about Elijah. The Bible talks about Elijah, how he was called up in heaven in a chariot of fire. And Elisha was standing there, and he watched how Elijah went up into heaven in a chariot of fire, and all the other people were wondering what happened to Elijah. And Elisha told him, he says, "Look, this is what happened." They didn't believe him. And they said, "Let us go look for him. Let us go look for him." And he says, "No, there ain't no point in going. He's done caught up into heaven. You're not going to find him." But they didn't believe what he said. And they kept pressuring him and pressuring him and pressuring him until he was just like, "You know what? Just go." And so they went, and they searched for 3 days for Elijah. And they came back. And you know what he said when they came back? He said, I told you not to go. Didn't I tell you not to go? I told you not to. They didn't believe him. The people didn't believe Noah's preaching. The people didn't believe that Elijah went to heaven. The rapture's being preached today, that Jesus is coming back. People don't believe it. But regardless of what they believe, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. It's promised. It's personal. It's purposeful. There's a reason for it all. So if you're here today and you're not saved, there is no greater opportunity to get saved than today. Let's pray. Lord, as we come before you this morning and we think about our life and we think about you, and Lord, I pray that you would speak to every heart here today. Lord, you would help us to examine our own lives and see where we are with you. And God, if we're lost and we're not saved, God, I pray that you would speak to our hearts, help us to see that today is the day that I need to get saved. Lord, I pray that you would speak to my heart today and help me to see and understand that I am a sinner, that I am lost. But Jesus has made a way for me. And if I'll accept what Christ has done on that cross for me, if I'll accept the punishment that he took for me and that he shed his blood to die for my sins, if you'll accept the free gift of eternal life, the Lord Jesus is willing to save you this morning. Listen, if you don't know, you need to make sure you know. If you have any doubts about your salvation whatsoever, you need to make sure that you have it all cleared up before you leave out of here today. As the piano plays, if you're here this morning and you can honestly say within yourself, and nobody's looking but me and God, but if you can sit here this morning and say, you know what, preacher, as I think about my life and I'm not sure if I'm saved or not. And I'm asking today for the Lord Jesus to save me, to forgive me of my sins and to be my Savior. If that speaks to you here this morning, would you just slip your hand up so I can see you? I'm asking Jesus to save me today. Does that speak of anybody here this morning? Could be there's some folks here that are not sure. And they just want to make sure they got it all worked out. I don't want to be on the other side of that door. As we stand to our feet, we get ready to close the service here in just a moment. I'm opening up the altar today. If you want to come and kneel at this altar and you just pray, could be that you have friends or family members that are lost and not saved. And the last thing that you desire for them is to be on the other side of that door. The last thing that you desire for them is for that trumpet to sound and then be on the other side of that door. God loves you this morning. He sent His Son, the Lord Jesus, to die for you. And if you'll accept Him today, He'll come into your life and He'll be your Savior. Not because you're a good person, not because any of us deserve it. The Bible says there is none righteous, no, not one, that every man has gone his own way. But I can promise you this. If you'll reach out to the Lord Jesus today, you'll see that His hand is already reaching down from heaven, ready to save you. Perhaps He's speaking to your heart today and He's saying, come now and let us reason together. The Bible says, cast all you care upon Him, for He careth for you. No matter what you have in your life, no matter where you may be, listen, don't you buy in the fact that the devil would have you to think that you're too sinful for God to save. That God wouldn't want you knowing the things that you've already done. Listen, He already knows the things you've already done. And He still desires you anyway. Because He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And we all come to the cross the same way. The Bible says that the Lord is no respecter of persons. Doesn't matter who you are. Doesn't matter how much money you have or the lack thereof. Doesn't matter your position in society. Doesn't matter who mom and daddy is. This is your chance and your opportunity to do business with God, you and Him. And your life is but a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Don't let this moment pass by without you having done business with God. He's ready to pull you up out of that miry clay. Set your feet upon a rock, establish your steps, and put a new song in your mouth. As the altar is filled with folks that are praying for themselves and loved ones, friends, family. We pray that they hear the still small voice of the Lord today. No matter where they are at this moment, the Holy Spirit of God would tug on their hearts. The Holy Spirit of God would get their attention. Help them to see that even in the midst of all the confusion and chaos and darkness and evilness of this world, that there is a God in heaven that desires to be the light of their life. To forgive them and save them. Just as He did you and me. Heaven is a real place, and hell is a real place as well. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much for being here today. It has been a glorious morning. I have been so excited about being here today. Enjoyed all the singing. It was tremendous. Good fellowship today. We are going to head our way to the back here in just a minute. But before we do, we're going to go ahead and ask the Lord to bless the food while we're already here. And then we'll go back there to the back. You should be able to form two lines going down the tables in the middle that have all the food on it. I'm sure they are already prepared and ready for us to come back there. So also don't forget that after we get done eating, we will have our second service. So if you're able to stay, we'd love to have you. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Ask God to bless the food and the remainder of our day. Father, we thank You so much for this day that You've given us, Lord. We are so grateful for the opportunities, God, that You have allowed us here. And Lord, this homecoming that we have, Lord, 32 years of Your presence and Your blessings on Gospel Light Baptist Church. And Lord, we just pray that You would just continue to help our church to be a light in this community, Lord, and a light into the world. Lord, I pray that